It's been leading up to this final moment.
Live from the El Portal Theater.
No, girl. It's not the El Portal this time. They got to upgrade.
Ooh, upgrade. We're reporting live from the theater at the Ace Hotel. Can you believe it? A live podcast experience.
Maybe they'll book anyone there.
Totally
live. But did anyone show up in an Oscar Mayer Wiener hot dog truck?
Yeah.
No. We did show their girl. But this is RuPaul's Drag Race Reunited.
Yes. And we've got a special guest with us today. A doll who was actually there on stage in the room where it happened in that moment. It is our sister from Day and Under, Courtney Act.
We talk
G'day,
about
G'day, listeners.
Ooh, a little preview. Save that silky voice. We talk about the finale, both the televised version and what really happened that night in the theater with the RE.
So strap in and strap on as we celebrate the end of an amazing classic season of Drag Race Season 6.
Oh, girl.
Forever. Dog.
Hello, and welcome back to the theater at the Ace Hotel. This is the live finale of Season 6 Race Chaser Classique.
Ding.
A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning. My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Now available, Chronicle Books. I'm Willem.
Chroniclebooks.com/Alaska. Oh my God, the crowd is so lit here. I can't believe it. Can you believe the sound? Give us a cheer, everyone. Oh my God. It feels good to be back in a live theater, doesn't it, Willem?
Mm-hmm. Touching hands.
Touching you, touching me, mm-hmm. Knowing me, knowing you.
You want to know how we touched everybody last week?
He touched me. Yes, why don't you start off the show by letting us know what happened on last week's episode?
Oh, honey, we were in She Cap City. We did countdowns and clips and fashions and relived iconic Season 6 moments and got to see never-before-seen footage of Michelle giving compliments to Courtney, which should be a podcast where people just pay Courtney compliments, and Santino not being able to say Bianca's name, and Khloe Kardashian attempting to lip-sync but not knowing how to use her new lips. And none of these celebrities were getting paid. But now we're on to the finale for Season 6.
It feels great. An amazing season. Arguably one of the best seasons ever.
I don't really want to fight no more about what seasons are the best.
I will get into a flame war with you on the chat boards, Will.
I know I haven't been announced yet, but I've been listening to this podcast, and I people always say, oh my God, Season 6 is my favorite. And I'm always like, thank you. And then I'm like, they're probably just saying that because I was on it. But then I listened to this podcast and I could hear that Alaska was mildly plucked when Willem described Season 6 as the best, 4 as the second best, and 5th as in the next top 3 best.
Do you agree?
That's what I remember. I don't know. I can't be objective.
Agree?
I know. We saw the show,
So you
girl.
Agree. Your season is really pretty.
You agree. I think I'm pretty objective.
I think I'm pretty. Okay?
I just don't see the need of worry. Okay. You know what? I want to do it officially. I want to do it officially because she has been someone that we have. It's almost like she's been on the podcast with us the whole time.
I mean, she's always with us. She's Miss Tiny Todd Tip Spot.
Yes.
Court LaVernay, Roxana, Debris, Actington.
Raw Prawn, Actington.
Hamilton III.
This is Courtney Act, everyone.
Yay! Good morning from overcast Sydney, Australia.
So wait, this is the this is the level of dedication that you want to see. What it's
spun in off the dance floor, just spun in.
I mean,
no, the dance floors are closed, Willem.
No. You're on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
Is that a secret?
Remember, you
don't. That's not a secret. Dancing. Okay. I am on All Stars, everybody. I am on All Stars.
She's an
Dancing with the Stars All Stars.
She twirls.
She's an All Stars girl.
She
twirls on her belly like a reptile.
My skirt twirled up.
It's twirled up. So wait, I'm in Los Angeles. Willem, you are in?
I'm in Manchester.
Okay. And Courtney, you are in Sydney. So
she's in Manchester and a man was just chesting in her.
Ooh.
Are you proud of that?
We're very proud of you.
She's the comedy queen. I blame it on the edit that you weren't the comedy queen of the season.
Ooh, there's a song about that.
Okay. Are we? I was gonna
song
save
is a stretch.
It. I was gonna save it for hot goss, but it's like it's just how can we know what the how the gaslighting anthem of a generation.
Oh my god,
she didn't even have to say any. It's all the stuff that we guessed she thought, but she actually said it, put it to a song. She said, "Let me say a little ditty to this to those bitches that won't shut up."
It really is the gaslighting anthem, though. I think that is so. In my upcoming memoir, I know we're discussing it later, Caught in the Act, available on November 2nd in Australia and New Zealand, and
is
available
that a
around the world at a later date.
Footage.
I talk about that genuinely, like just while I was writing, I was like, this feels like gaslighting. And I was like, oh, can I write that in my book that I felt gaslit by the situation? And then when this song came out, I felt very validated.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Because it's like, it's like you're acting crazy. Editing doesn't exist. What are you talking about? It's like, okay, well, you're taking 2 days of footage, turning it into 45 minutes, adding underscoring. You're writing out a script of the season before it happens. I don't.
And to be fair, that the reunion episode that we're covering today, each little girl gets one little interview bit with Rue and it covers whatever their storyline was. Laganja's is negative. You know, Milk's is great about how hunky she is. Like, it just gives their archetype a little brief last moment. Like, remember this bitch for this. And it's very edity. But
I mean,
that's why we're reunited here today.
You know what's also interesting about RuPaul releasing a song called Don't Blame It on the Edit? When Michelle Visage, one of the judges on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6.
I love that you're explaining it to the race chaser audience. Like, so in case you don't know who Michelle Visage is.
Gluten-free, first of all.
No, go ahead.
God, my filter is working really hard today, you guys.
Why?
It's early in the morning and when Michelle Visage exited the Celebrity Big Brother house, you know that competition reality show that she didn't win?
She lost, yeah.
She tweeted when she came out of the house, quote, "Good Lord, I am now hearing about all of the edits, and now I'm one of them. I only wish you could have seen what I truly said, hashtag CBBUK.
That's wild.
Wow.
Like, that's perfect.
So RuPaul is basically dragging his best friend, Michelle Visage.
Yeah. Well,
damn.
We are gathered here today to talk specifically about the finale episode.
You were there.
Yes. We were there.
And you were there.
It starts out with sort of a red carpet bonanza. It's bam, 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 bam. And we get red carpet guests saying who they think is going to win.
Red carpet guest like Alaska Thunderfuck.
Was I on there?
Honey, you like how she look in the yellow? I do.
You like how I look in the yellow?
You know what I couldn't help but think when this popped up was, how did they get anybody? And I feel I'm being objective. How did they get anybody to say, I think Courtney Act's going to win this season?
I think that's an unfair assessment because I think Gia was being genuine in that moment because she's like, no, Courtney's the prettiest. She should win.
I think Gia was the only one in that case.
I don't know about that. Because people, especially Rue girls, they can see through the nonsense and they're like, no, Courtney Act is a class act. She's really fucking good at drag.
She knows what she's doing in the sack.
Gia bonded with me. I've got a bung eye. She's got a bung eyelash. So, you know.
Gia says, Yeah, Courtney Act, Fish Femme, Drag Caliber, Aesthetic, Live, Love, Yes, Work, Yes, Crazy, Cuckoo, Cunt. We love it.
That's her discography, too. We get done in there.
Hey, it's really good. We get this bit, which I loved, is the assistant, who I believe that's Adam, knocks on RuPaul's door and says, "Ms. RuPaul, we're ready for you." And she turns around with shaving cream on her face. Is this stolen from you, Courtney? Or is this a classic, like, classic drag thing?
Katie Lang and Cindy Crawford did it in 92 for, like, a GQ cover. And then Courtney did it on Magnus's infamous book cover. She's beautiful. So beautiful.
Well, I stole it from myself when I did it with Magnus in 2001. But then also an Australian drag queen, Amelia Airhead Smith, did it in the 90s. But I think it's from that scene, maybe with, isn't there like a Joan Crawford film reference?
Is it? Because RuPaul puts on a voice when she says, like, "I'm almost ready." Like, almost like a Kathleen Turner kind of voice. So I thought it was a reference to something, but maybe...
Or like a Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, very Norman Desmond. A queen not afraid to reference or not reference. Courtney, when you make your thinking face, sometimes your eye goes...
And I know. Vanity
and
said
I want to
me,
use the Bianca quote of, like, bring them both around.
Vanity was like, you should never... you should be really careful if you're ever talking to somebody you want to have sex with on Zoom or FaceTime, because... when you start thinking, your eye wanders off, and it's very disconcerting for everyone who's watching.
Oh, my God.
It's charming. Well, we get a little bit of choreography. We get a little sissyography at the very top of the show. You know, the girls' arm gesture, walk this way, walk this way, in which no one gets really close-ups except Bianca. She gets, like, two close-ups.
Hinting. I think they're adding stairs in the hopes that one of these years a girl will fall and it will go so viral. Because all the girls are looking down. It's a challenge. And, like, you know, it's just... And then in your back room, in your room with you, Bianca, and Adore, you're not lit right. None of y'all are. There's shadows on your faces from above head. Like, that was atrocious. I'm so sorry for you.
I would like to nod to my D-squared gown.
The black gown?
The black D-squared
couture gown. With the belt on your head,
gown.
I love that.
Yes, that was loaned to me by the D-squared boys. I was watching it and I was like trying to actually remember how that came about, because I've met them. Do you want me to be relatable just for a second?
Yes, please.
Just for a change? When I was in Capri on a yacht the summer before, I looked over and there was a bigger yacht and there was like boys in Speedos and we waved and the people signaled for us to come aboard and it was the D-Squared brothers, Dean and Dan. And we sipped Cristal in Capri and then we went to dinner that night at a Lemon Grove restaurant.
You smoked
and
Cristal with the D-Squared?
No, that didn't happen.
Oh, you sipped Cristal. Oh, I'm sorry.
And anyway, they loaned me that beautiful couture gown from... And I remember, like...
fabulous.
That was me being relatable.
She's been to Georgia and California on a yacht with D-squared boys in Capri. Very that. Very that, Miss Courtney. I live for it. I love.
I find that the opening choreo is always... It has to be very simplistic because half the girls are like... Bitch, I ain't doing shit.
Magnolia did not want to be there entirely.
Mm-mm. It's like, it's the most basic, but also the least rehearsed and least give a fuck performance of the whole season, because there's no stakes. It's like, I don't give a shit. I'm not doing your fucking rigmarole. I watched what you did to me on the season. How was rehearsal for that that opening act, Courtney?
Oh, gosh. I think that my only memories of that night are contained in celluloid because of the trauma. I have just blocked them out. I don't think I can remember.
Is now a good time for you to read an excerpt from your forthcoming novel?
No, you know, well, the opening of chapter 17 begins with the obviously infamous line, "The winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, season 6, mm-hmm. America's Next Drag Superstar is," mm-hmm. and it may not be who you think it is. So maybe when we get to that place, I could read a bit
when you're comfortable with
that
us.
Idea.
Okay, and our listeners.
Yeah, I love
Thank
that
you.
Idea.
This is your safe space, Courtney Act.
Thank
your
you.
Your look was sickening, and it also complimented Bianca's look because you open your giant train.
Flaps.
And it looks like wings on Bianca as she's doing her walk because you're like prepping your dress right before while she's walking, and it looks
very
like
closing to Wong Fu.
Very scene. It's beautiful. You look sickening.
Honey. Well, also, you know what's nice is Adore, Bianca, and I did not coordinate that we were all going to wear a shade of black either. That was you know.
Really?
Triplet chronicity? No, that didn't work.
You weren't prompted to wear black? And Darian wore black, too.
Oh, wait. Was everyone wearing black? No.
The final four were wearing black.
Kelly was wearing black. She had a bow tie on and a black dress.
No, I don't think we were.
Amelia had on business interview casual.
But I do remember the week before when the recap episode went to air, we were still the final four. And we hadn't been told who was going to be the top. Oh, sorry, obviously the week before because we saw it on television. No, it was the week before that.
So
oh, now I'm making a liar out of myself.
She didn't know until that episode?
She knew. They told us like maybe a couple of days before, I think it was, because we knew that we had to prepare two looks for the finale, and we were like, but they were like, but only if you're in the top three. And I was like, I don't want to have to prepare a whole finale worthy look if I'm not in the top three. Oh, that's right.
That's
and we
brutal.
Filmed the finale. I think I don't know if it was the week of the recap episode or the week before, but so they did tell us like a few days before that it wasn't Darian. So she found out that she wasn't going to be in the top three. Because we thought, maybe they're just going to keep it as a top four.
Right.
We didn't know, but that's a little trivia. That was so very exciting.
Oh my God. Why don't we go ahead and take a break and we'll be right back.
Because you saw what I just texted you, right?
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
We're back. I just need to clear this up one more time. So did they film each of you getting told this is not your moment in the when you were the final four?
They did. And I asked if I could go first because I am aware of my transparency and my inability to tell a lie for good or for bad. And I was like, they told us in the morning that they might be doing that. And I was like, guys, Mandy, can I please go first just because I'm no good at telling lies. Like, and then nobody mentioned it the whole entire day. And then we got to that point on the runway and Rue was like, sashay away, Courtney, act. And I was like,
oh,
wait,
no.
Is this real? Or are they filming four different versions? And everybody, I walked off, they took me to a room. I was like, oh God, oh God. Everybody was crying. And then they were like, okay, let's go and shoot the other options. And I was like, oh, thank God. Which is how RuPaul I wanted it to happen because I gave a very genuine response.
RuPaul just keeps that footage and like, and just plays it over and over. Courtney act. Courtney act.
That along with the fourth alternate ending of this episode, the tie, which we'll get
we will
to.
Get. We will get there.
At RuPaul, disgusted.
Now, we will get
wait,
there.
But RuPaul in this finale dress is kind of washed out. She's wearing the same color as the background, looking beautiful
I love
from
that.
The neck up, but she's a floating head.
Mm. I love it. I love the
gown too. I just wish the backdrop was lit different, like with a magenta on that purple bitch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like some uplighting on that curtain. I don't know. But RuPaul, she comes down, the dancers dance. We got Michael Silas dancing, some other fine men. And Ru says, adore Bianca and Courtney. Thanks to you, this has been the most tweeted and Tumblr'd season ever. Hey, Porkchop.
Hey, Porkchop.
Remember Tumblr?
I know, I do.
All the good porn was there.
R.I.P.
I know. I want to ask you, ladies, if you have any standouts from the... Because each girl gets to walk the runway and have her moment. Gia Gunn, to me, for me, in general, Gia Gunn really ate it up.
Can never go past Vivacious. There's something about her and her walk that is just... makes you just... love her.
She's
you can't tell
energy.
Her she's not the one, and she is the one. You know, she brings, she pumps down that runway. And Gia, honey, she touched her nose. She touched the dragon's nose.
Yeah.
She gave the dragon's arms tail. She had a hula hoop instead of in her purse. It was in the bottom of her dress to make it all round. She looked like an exotic chess piece. It was beautiful.
Yeah. That is a good description.
Because the bottom, like, you know, bury that.
And Trinity K. Bonet, everyone, the airbrushed bodysuit was new technology at the time.
New technology.
And
she invented that.
She kind of did. She executed that look so perfectly and was just so, so beautiful. So sickening. Everybody say love.
Oh, what's that Delta quote about platitudes and... wanting to feel them rather than hearing them repeated like something written on a greeting card. I can't remember.
Wow. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Vary that with Delta and Raja.
Well, the girls take a selfie using Melk's long arms.
Mm-hmm. Go to her OnlyFans with other long stuff, too. I was a subscriber.
So wait, Chaz Bono gets a cutaway when Courtney Act walks the runway.
You know why.
Sparks.
Tell her the good share story. Tell us.
Sparks?
Well, this happens later on in the episode, so I don't know whether I should save it for then.
Say it now.
So you know how
said,
later
Georgia,
on the episode, Jocelyn's husband proposes to her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well... Rue ribs Chaz about having a crush on me, and is there anything else he wanted to ask me?
Oh
wink,
my
wink.
God.
And it is my inside trader information that they had a plan if Chaz had decided to propose to me on the show. Like, they actually had, like, a what do we do if he... And I'm like, what? What? Someone must have overcalculated our friendship because that was
wild.
Certainly not a thing. That was a real wild card.
Yeah,
they
you
had
just
to plan
once.
For it. They had to plan for it just in case.
Willem, that did not happen. Chaz and I have a platonic friendship.
You have to buy the book. You have to buy the book to find out.
You have to buy the book to find out.
Setting you up, sis. Just go with it, bitch. So Magnolia and Kelly get to talk, and they're the first girls up. And
yes.
Kelly looks so cute and beautiful.
Stunning.
Little,
black dress, bow tie.
The bow tie is the right size proportion to her face. It's not like a small
gorgeous.
Men's bow tie. It's like, she looks great. And
the first time I'd met Kelly Mantle on the TV show.
Oh, right.
We were never in the same room at the same time until this night.
That
until
is
the
so
reunion?
Wacko.
Oh, wow. Everybody's honking.
Kelly Mantle looked great. She did great. She was. She looked good. She acted good. She sings she good. She answered the questions good.
If and there's anyone else an doing icon. It better, give it to them.
She's such a wonderful and talented entertainer. For me personally, it was such a shame to not get to see more of her on the on this particular television show.
Honey, you could look her up because her IMDb is longer than mine. She's been doing it.
She's been doing the darn thing. Mm-hmm. Now, as good as Kelly's interview was, that is as bad as Magnolia's interview was.
She looked at her right in the face and said, I don't watch your show, bitch.
Come on. This
I want to remember it how I want to remember it.
This is, come on, queen, give us nothing. This is a waste of a spot on the TV show. In my opinion.
It was kind of wonderful, did you see the shoe? Kind of awkward.
I love that she just dissed her. She wore what she wanted to wear. She didn't give a fuck. She wore day. She went day for the reunion.
She went Blanche Devereaux day wear.
Day. She said, fuck you, RuPaul. Day. I'm going day. You're in a gown and I'm day, bitch.
I've gone back to my career as a flight attendant and I don't care about your TV show anymore.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's fabulous. Have a career. I'm very happy for her, like, having a career that has nothing to do with drag. That's fierce. But I also...
But at least put on a dress you got from some guys you met on a yacht. Come
exactly.
on.
Why don't these people do that?
Come on. Magnolia. But, you know, Ru and Kelly have a cute moment. RuPaul's like, Kelly, talk to your sister. You need to get her about not
Gather
watching my
her
show.
Together. And yeah.
Kelly gets a funny little moment about...
RuPaul is like, I am not buying that. You know what? We're done. Can you get her together? Because I don't want to talk to her anymore. Yeah,
honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then up we have Vivacious and April Carry On.
Yes.
And we get to talk to Ornacia's mother. Mm-hmm. And we get into her old school way of walking, how she'll give a hip on the dips and everything.
She will. And, you know, Ornacia gave her a writ of emancipation. April Carry On.
You know what? I feel like Vivacious and RuPaul can empathize with each other in this moment because Vivacious created Ornacia and then Ornacia has gone out, had her own career, and now talks smack about her mama, you know? And she probably blames it on the edit as well.
Right. Blame it on the edit. April Carry On, who I'm shocked has not returned for any All-Stars. She mentions All-Stars 2, even though that wasn't really in existence yet. She leaked it. She said, honey, I'm going to be back for All-Stars 2. And did she invent the, I went home, but I'm going to keep showing my looks that I would have worn on social media?
I copied it off of someone. It must have been her.
Maybe she was one of the first adopters of this. And I'm glad she did because she had some really great looks, including that RuPaul look with the straight center hair.
She's so beautiful. I did a Mexico gig with her and Marco and Raya, and she did Selena Gomez, Can't Keep My Hands to Myself. And honey, like the hands were so fast and they could have been filled with honey.
Honey.
April is such a beautiful. Wonderful queen, and she's beautiful and she's fun. And I just love her in the wake of the show. Like we've barely see each other, but we still keep in touch. And I call her my little putanesca, which isn't Spanish, but, and I can't remember where it came from. Or maybe because of puta. I said that really white. Puta.
Puta.
But she's
What do you
just,
put chicken salad in?
In my puta.
What do you type emails on? On my puta.
What do you call it for carry on?
Putanesca. But I just love April Carry On. She's a gorgeous queen.
And I have a feeling we might be seeing her on All Stars someday.
Really?
I think she should be. I have no authority on the matter. I just think she really should be.
Undercover casting director?
I'm the mole. Vivacious takes us into the break with the fabulous Vivacious Dancers. Gunk, 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 gunk. That was so cute. Ornacia really became a thing.
She did. This is where we get to the bad lighting, the first incident with Courtney, Bianca, and Adore It looked like the seat was too low for your feet to extend properly to sit right and drag too.
Are we skipping over a bunch of
queens? No, the overstock.com red room. That's what I'm talking about.
The room. Podcasting. Overstock.com.
What was that room and why did anyone let that happen? You didn't say, give me some director chairs where my legs can be out and I can show this pretty gown, this Getty gown.
I have a really vague, I'm trying to scroll back through the episode now on the television, but I have a very vague memory of feeling like we were being commercially exploited.
You were.
Like, go and sit in the overstock.com red room.
Of course.
Before they name who the prize heifer is, they let all three of them sniff each other in the kennel.
Yeah, I was like, do we get paid extra for this visual endorsement?
Yeah.
It's in the contract now.
I wonder. Well, we're sitting right now in the BetterHelp.com podcasting lounge.
Just sitting.
I feel better.
Our lighting is exquisite, though. I wish this wasn't just audio because we really turned it with our looks.
It's a shame people don't get to see how beautiful we are right now.
It's wild.
I love that you did your Klaus Nomi look, Courtney.
Thank you. I just thought I'd bring Klaus it back. Nomi. One of my favorites from the season. I remade the latex wig myself just this morning when I woke up.
By hand. Mm-hmm. Yes.
By hand.
You molded it with a heat gun.
Neck hair. Real pretty.
Yes.
And Alaska, you also look beautiful. Is this a beaded dress or is it a seed beaded dress?
It's both. Because
and I see some bugle in there too. A bugle?
Boogie woogie bugle beads.
And speaking of seed beading, Willem, I can see in your gown there's a little there's a wet feature in the rear.
In the rear? Is there a drop seat in that gown too? Oh my God.
It needs an escape hatch. Let me tell you, it's going to burn coming out. The next segment is Gia and Milk, and the girls give it to you. Gia says, look at this. Dragon knows here. She is a walking Chinese New Year, like, I can't say that probably. I meant it as a compliment, like parade. Like the front of the parade with the dragon. Like that's how she's just walking. She's giving. And
fabulous.
All toots. And Milk, she gives this glam look that surprised everybody. She just went glam. And I love
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful. Let's
I
get
want
glam.
To say
I'll give
someone-
you a 35 minute face.
Someone did her face. I can't remember.
Oh,
really?
Part of me wants to say, no, it wasn't Gottmik. No,
but we
wasn't
do rumors
true.
Here, so you can say it.
Oh,
it doesn't have to be true.
I think what happened was, oh, no, who was it? It's on the tip of my tongue. Someone who I know now, but didn't know well back then, did Milk's face for that.
Well,
okay.
That was really useful.
Well, sometimes girls do that for the reunion. They want to look ultra snatched. Did anyone paint you or did you do yourself?
I did myself. Scotty Cunner did my hair. Shout out to Scotty, who always did amazing hair on me.
Did you have good crystal work? Because we know you're known for your crystal work.
I do not believe
your
crystal
Fantasia face.
Had any crystal work on my face during that.
Well, you look lovely.
Thank you.
Gia is great. She's also like, I mean, this is, I
she
feel
lies
like
more on this reunion when she says she's just a humble Asian girl at heart, honey.
Yeah. And she was
she's
like,
more than a woman.
And you know, I have just found that I can validate other types of drag, like this person sitting next to me, like trying
she's
to
like,
be.
Sweetie here. What's your name?
Trying to be like humble and magnanimous, but also coming across as like, I still think your drag is absolute gutter. I'm just better at not saying it now.
That
I'll
is
call
so
you Madam Boogie Boots instead of Book Book. I respect you as a sister.
Yes!
And that leads us to the next segment, which is Laganja and Trinity K. Bonet. And Laganja is the perfect mix of like herself and her old voice type of thing in this. She's just being real. There's no more pressure anymore. She's just gregarious and herself and lovely. And the hair, it looks like...
Samson sister?
I thought it was giving one of Dracula's wives from the Keanu version, but like pumped up and just fucked. I loved it. And I loved her look.
She just
felt like she came in on some pop rock edibles from Sondertime. She's just floating and she's gorgeous. and the purple lilac shade she's wearing. Gorge.
She's really starting to come into herself at this moment, and it's really great to see. And she's, you know, she's got her fucking medication that she requires. Mm-hmm. She, I believe she's very much on the forefront of cannabis culture. And mm-hmm. at the time, it was still, like, controversial to be like, oh, she's, like, talking about smoking weed all the time. And now it's, like, cannabis is, like, a respectable, like, fucking medical thing.
I remember her talking about it, and I hadn't yet indulged in the joys of THC in California. And I remember just being like, I can't believe she's talking about marijuana.
Right.
And she, yeah, she really was ahead of her time, because now, like, you see it on TV shows, you see it being talked about, you realize that, as you can learn in one of my Courtney Fact videos, that one of the biggest contributors to the big sort of company that talks against marijuana is mm-hmm. the alcohol companies that are feeding that rumor mill of negativity about weed. And that in the beginning, there was a man called William Randolph Hearst who owned the paper presses, and he also owned the newspapers. And when hemp came to the USA from Mexico, it was so much cheaper to make than regular conventional paper. And William was like, well, I don't have the technology for that, so I'm going to spread all these lies and misinformation in my newspapers, telling people that weed is the devil's plant and that it's bad for you. And that's how the demonization of marijuana began.
Wow. And the stigma still exists, but has been largely broken by figures like Laganja.
By Laganja Estranja.
It's very exciting to see how far Laganja has gone since that original season.
You think Michelle would crack a smile knowing how good Laganja's doing now, because she was giving her Stone Cold Carter during this segment.
It was like an irritated Nooch. It wasn't Nooch, because Nooch is neutral. This was like an irritated, like...
perturbed.
Angry
I'm waiting
face.
For my food because it was already wrong. I had to send it back. That is the face Michelle is giving Laganja right now. And,
very,
you know,
that type.
She, let her, Tejala.
Well, why don't we take a break? And we'll be right back with Trinity K. Bonilla.
A goddess.
A goddess.
Mama, Laganja has a song out, a music video, a jewelry line, a makeup line, and she's going to Brazil for the World Cup, baby. Okay.
Honey. And then we have Miss Trinity.
We do.
She comes in lovely. This dress, and she's very thankful that she got to tell her story on the show and set an example for the queer community and spreading awareness about living with HIV.
Yes. Which amazing.
Important, yeah.
Really, really important.
Too? Mm-hmm. The BBC one, Charity, just did it.
Yes, Charity Case, being very open about her status and her journey, and which is amazing.
And it's so important, just humanizing that topic, having a face, you know, to put to HIV, because so often it is such like a mystery thing, because there is so much stigma. And I really applaud Trinity back in, on telly in 2014, being out about her HIV and living with it and thriving.
Yeah. And
face,
looking
body, blonde, honey, the hair.
My God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, love. Then we get a little clip package of divas.
Do you
want to
learn about drag? Do you want to?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a Courtney Fact video about the history of drag? In
drag
20,
history
in 20 seconds or less?
Oh, there was a drag history supercut of photos of icons and legends of the drag world, which was... I'm at that bit right now on my television, and I'm looking at it.
There was Divine, there was Marsha P. Johnson, there was Shishi LaRue, Joey Arias.
Sylvester.
Yes.
Lipsinka.
Uh-huh. RuPaul.
Lady Bunny.
Yes.
The Dolls.
Which is nice. And they've done this a few other seasons as well.
Oh, they have my drag daughter too. Neil was up there.
Oh, and Conchita Wurst was
Hedwig.
In there as well.
And John Cameron Mitchell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All the girls. And then Rue sees this as a moment to sing Shade the Rusical. So was this, y'all did this, this was your last verse of Shade the Rusical, your winning challenge.
Correct.
Take each other down.
This is the first time Kelly Mantle heard the words.
Yeah.
She said, so I'll just stand on the end.
And most importantly, drag never takes itself too seriously. Mm. Back row.
That was the precursor for Blame It on the Edit, that line. That was where it all began.
Oof. Someone should do a mix, girl. The next segment is Jocelyn, Dayla, and Darian.
Yes.
And Jocelyn is so just wonderfully refreshing, like breath of fresh air. She takes a negative and makes it a positive about herself. They're like, well, what can we expect now? And she says, more accessories.
Yeah.
And she looks beautiful. Funny. The crystal on her face, very evocative of Courtney Act 2021, Dancing with the Celebrity Stars from Australia.
She's got a new necklace.
A new necklace and a matching earring. That came as a set, earring. Honey. That came as a set, and it is gorge.
And her bottom lash is bigger than my top lash.
Right. She's got a belly button ring, too, under that gown.
She really does.
With a square-cut emerald.
Do you think that the lighting in that theater is conducive to a smaller lash? We were talking about this in the group chat. We have a AAA girls group chat.
We do. And this week, well, not this week, but recently, when I was filming Dancing with the Stars All-Stars, it is pre-taped in front of a live audience. because it's not live on television, you don't get to see everything live on television. And
right.
You don't get to see the number, but I was allowed, the producer said that we could watch our number on their laptop. Like, we weren't allowed to have a copy of it, but we could watch it on their laptop.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, where did my eyes go? Because I've recently started wearing actual drag size lashes. It only took 20 something years.
Okay.
Like a 301 sort of.
Baby's first big lash.
Not but because quite the as lights... big as a 301. I'm not crazy.
I'm not a clown. Because the lights in studios come from a 45-degree angle,
right.
If you think about the lashes projection and how that creates literal shade on your own eyeballs,
right.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to – maybe I was right this whole time. And so I tried wearing a smaller lash, and I was out on the studio floor, and I was like, oh, why is it so bright in here today? Have they turned up the lights? And I was like, oh, my God, it's because I don't have my umbrella lashes on.
Right. And it reads...
You could see my eyeball.
Yes. And
girl,
it reads way better.
Girl, not in the Overstock.com red room, honey.
Oof.
You had a shadow on your face with the lash. That was disgusting.
That I can't believe Wendy didn't. Lighting.
I can't believe Wendy didn't open the door and just yell at everybody.
I'm surprised. I think I thought about calling Wendy when I saw that Overstock.com logo. I was like, is this in the contract?
Everybody knows you always got it in stock, bitch. For like 30 years now or so, right? How long you been in the cut, bitch?
The year 2000.
Yeah, like 48.
Dayla is next.
She was on the show. I saw her.
And she has a really great interview. And it starts off, this whole exchange made me a little like uncomfortable for Darian, because Dayla's interview started off with, people were really pissed when you went home. And when she went home, Darian stayed.
You made the wrong decision.
Right. And then it was like, and then it was very positive for Dayla. And then it was sort of like, then Darian's whole interview was like, well, do you want to apologize to Dayla for being crazy and for being mean to her? Rather than like giving Darian her own moment. She was in the fucking final four. She was almost in the final three, for God's sake.
Yeah.
The quarrel with Dayla was a very small part of her storyline to
but
me.
But girl, what makes the best edit for them, you know? Put forth the edit and reinforce what they just showed the whole season, you know? And they want to boil the girls down to, like, this is how you remember her, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's not right, especially for Darian, because she's so great. But the girls do make up, which is nice.
Yeah.
They do their makeup and they make up. We get some, you know, emotional trauma porn out of Darian. Rue's like, give her some tears now, bitch. Now that we made you apologize, give her some tears. We want you to cry, bitch. Come on. You know, and
right.
everyone, and
we
you do, because you want to give the story, because you want to get on All Stars, and I get it. So she gave him what she gave him.
Yeah. But
then we get to the top three girls. And you know who that is.
Top
ABC,
three.
Bitch.
Dun, 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 dun. Top three. How does it? Tell me about this song, because I'm obsessed with the fact that you got to do a song. No other season has ever gotten to do a top three song.
I know they wrote the lyrics for us, and both Adore and I were like, oh, so Bianca gets to be the funny one. Oh, I see.
You're her backup dancer. You're
we
her
were
backup
her backup
singers.
Dancers. Her backup where singers.
Where's my dress?
And it was one of those moments where you're like,
RuPaul was supposed to love me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we had to sing this song, which was so cute. It was live. There was no pre-record. This season six was, you know, the Rusical was live. We sang that with our body mics. We sang that little bit on the steps with our body mics.
Dry mics.
And in front of dry
honey, West End, she's a West End woman. She can do it.
And Adore went first and absolutely slayed it. And you just know that pressure where you're like, oh, my God, don't fuck it up, has never felt more true. And then Bianca just like, I'm Bianca and I don't sing or dance. I'm in the top three motherfuckers and I can read your fucking ass from here to hell and back and fuck off.
Yeah. Hook her at Asner.
Singing what? Is
that's
stupid. I don't do that. Yeah. I'm just funny and I'm going to win and I'm standing in the middle. You dumb cunts are singing. I don't do that dumb shit. Fuck
P.S.
you guys.
I sewed Glenn Close's panties for Sunset Boulevard. the top three is great, and y'all.
I work all the time. I have no problems. Ah, you're terrible.
What were these fan questions like? Were there a lot more than they actually aired?
Oof,
Courtney. Because
see,
we get to this fan question.
I genuinely can't remember.
There's one about LaGondra
Courtney
and Adore's relationship.
Courtney has a mental block.
You'll have to buy the book.
Yeah.
This is. I mean, talk about uncomfortable
did
to
I
watch.
Did I get a fan question?
No,
I think it was. I think it was you and Chaz had a moment, but I don't. Yeah. The uncomfortable Adore and LaGondra, they bring them back to the basement of World of Wonder to watch the scene.
A just pre-tape?
To like, let's get triple the sort of drama out of this. Really, already very dramatic thing that happened. That was really rough to watch. And you could tell both of the girls were like, we're not getting anywhere with this. Mm.
It's just exploitative. It's reality television porn.
Yeah.
I mean, the other option is obscurity. So we all take it and thank God for it. But like, you know, sometimes it's hard to go along with it, you know, like, oh, your husband came and fucked you. That's why you're leaving. Okay, we'll go with that story. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's just get this over with. And that's what these girls did. They had a let's get this over with moment. And then we go into the fan questions. And Latrice asked a question about Adore having a crush on Bianca. The girls are known to Kai Kai.
I didn't. Did you get that vibe? You were there.
No. I got like a gay aunt vibe. Gay uncle.
Adore and I did make out at the inauguration. Not the inauguration. At the, what's it called when you crown someone?
Coronation.
Coronation chicken.
Coronation.
I think that's as sexual as Cornish any of Collins? Us have ever gotten.
Wow.
Sensual.
I step up in a Wigs by Vanity and a yellow dress. And I
a yellow
ask,
wig and a yellow dress.
I love that unit. It's a Wigs by Vanity that Vanity styled for me. It was meant to be like Barbarella. And I'm obsessed with that hair and I have no idea where it is.
What are your storage centers, bitches?
I must be.
You look so glamorous with that lily.
And you asked Gia, you said, what was with that eyelash, girl?
Yeah. Well, it was a fan question and I read it. And
well, also, if you thought the lighting in the overstock.com room was drag photo,
this ain't much better. This is only good for RuPaul, this light, because you're side lit by her light.
Yeah. I think you're actually basking in RuPaul's light.
Yeah.
Wow.
She wants you to know.
Yeah.
That
hand
was
of the father,
fun.
Bitch. Jiggly asked a question to Bianca from Facebook. And gets red for her old teeth, which I have a necklace of. She gave me one.
Jiggly has, she has Pokemon evolved since this moment. Oh I mean, God. She's really really stunning.
Can I tell you a secret? I stole some barrettes from her. Well, she left them, and then I didn't tell her that she left them there, and now I wear them all the time at this gig.
What is it?
I stole some barrettes from her because she still has my earrings from All Stars. So we did this gig at Neil's house for everybody's talking about Jamie premiere, and she left her some bobby pins and these cute little barrettes. And I was like, well, I'm keeping those till you give me my earrings back now, bitch. They're really cute.
Do you think of her every time you wear them?
And I wear them every day in Death Drop, which is the play that's touring the UK right now. Go get tickets. It's going everywhere. Manchester, Dublin, ding, Edinburgh, ding. Cardiff.
Ding!
Places. So come see it. But
it's a very good show, and Willem does a wonderful job in it and sings some wonderful original songs. Oops. Which she originated on the West End.
Wow. Thank you.
West End woman.
West
did you think
End girls?
Did anybody on the cast think that Jocelyn was gonna get married? I heard they pitched it to her and she said no.
Again,
do you remember
it's blocked
that?
Out of the trauma.
It's all blocked out.
Just think of something salacious.
Y'all had everything this season, didn't you? They really went all out.
We had a wedding.
Girl, where was Brianna?
An actual wedding occur on the stage that RuPaul officiated. You had a top three song.
Mm-hmm.
You had choreo. You really had it all.
We had it all. And what a cast.
Superstars. All still busy and booked.
And then Ivy Winters comes out on stilts to give Miss Congeniality.
Honey, this is over. She's so great.
I'm sure you've talked about Ivy Winters on Instagram on this pod before.
With the pickles and the hot air balloons and the...
I just can't get enough of her flower garden.
I want to move into this place next door to her and be like, hey, girl, what are we gardening today? Girl, let me get some of them squash seeds. I want to pickle something. I love her and I want to be her neighbor. I want to be her neighbor so bad. Ivy Winters is amazing.
You just need to go follow Ivy Winters if you don't already and just
follow
look at her beautiful garden. She planted... She planted so many flowers for her garden. She said, okay, so growing flowers is so much fun. I may need to do a little garden expanding next year so I can grow more. My hubby and I made 18 bouquets and had fun giving them away to campers at the Creek Ridge campground this weekend. And there's just, they look like they're the most beautiful, expensive silk fake flowers because they're so perfect. And they're like dahlias and poppies and lilies and it's, I'm just,
flowers don't die
in
the winter with Ivy Winters.
Miss.
No, ma'am.
She's so sickening. We're going to take a break.
Why don't we take a break? Yeah. We finally get to the final three. You each get a moment. Adora goes first. They talk to her mom a little bit. And she says that she wants to be that girl with the music and the career and travel the world. And she has by far completely done that. Her music is amazing.
That's so good. That first album, I mean, her first single was DTF, and her second single, I Adore You.
Oh, beautiful. So it's on my iTunes, fuck list.
Yeah.
And it plays on Eastsiders and a scene that I was in. And I remember, when I saw that episode and that happened, and I heard her music, and, we were on, the cast was on screen, I was like, perfect song for this show, queer artist. Such a vibe. And she's so wonderful. And
I have a juicy story that didn't make the edit of my
book. Is it Intel? Intel, everyone.
Button.
Yes.
Intel button.
We were, I think it was the top six. It was around, Adore's album had come out and we were all at Roscoe's in Chicago. And I think it was the top six girls and Michelle was there. And we were all in the dressing room. And someone delivered a copy of Billboard magazine, the actual magazine, because Adore's album had charted in the Billboard 200 that week.
Oh, cool.
And it was this really beautiful moment where we were all like, oh, and we were celebrating. And she was just so proud that her album was like in print as well, like in a physical magazine, Billboard, like this thing that we've all known and loved. And Michelle was on the other side of the room and Adele was like, look, like I'm in Billboard 200. And Michelle turned and said, call me when it's in the top 10.
What?
And
I believe it. I unfortunately believe it.
I was just like, do you know what? I had to channel anger recently. And the creative director that I was working with was like, what's something that makes you angry? And that moment was what came to my head. Wow. And I was just, and it was so fascinating to know that I like had this like anger at Michelle on Adore's behalf, like 2013, 8 years later, it was still bubbling that I was just like, fuck you. We were having a moment celebrating our sister's success. Yeah. We were all so happy for her. And she just gave this like terse, like me comment back. And it was just like, that was not necessary.
Wow.
Birds of a feather, bitch. So Bianca is talking about how it took a long time to audition because she hasn't seen anyone like her on previous seasons.
The children's poem. Oh my god! I mean, you must have just been like, "Well, we see how this is fucking going." A children's poem. Literally, it was like I could have. I was so. It was so sappy. It was so saccharine. Maybe I'm just jaded and bitter, but I think this is just the most calculated Eve Harrington-ass thing. Like, oh, yeah, for my guest, I would like this young girl to say a poem about that is heartfelt, but also pithy and also funny.
I love that you think that way about it.
Because she did produce. In your forthcoming novel, you talk about Bianca planning to ask you how to tone down your makeup. And she basically intones, we need to make our own story, you know? And they need to show this side of me. You write about it in your forthcoming novella. I know for a fact it's called Court in the Act. Now available in select regions of New Zealand and Australia.
I remember sitting in the back of the car. In the back of the van, the minivan, driving back to the 3.5-star glamour of the Beverly Garland Hotel in North Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And Bianca was like, so tomorrow I'm going to ask you how I should tone down my makeup. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, because that's what they want. And I was like, first of all, that's how you do your makeup. Like, I don't think this is, and this goes back to a comment I once said to you, Alaska, when we did the AAA Girls thing. I was like, no. That's how you do your makeup. You shouldn't change how you do your makeup to fit into somebody else's beauty standard. Is what I was trying to say to you that time, and I unfortunately failed.
No, I get that.
I was there. You called your sister ugly in a roundabout way. It was rude. Very Australian.
That was not my intention. And I said the same thing to Bianca, and she was like, "Yeah, but that's what they want to see. They want to see that you're listening to their comments." And so tomorrow, I'm going to ask you how to soften down my makeup. I was like, well, second of all, you know how to do makeup like better than I do.
Along with the journey of the edit and the story. I just remember being so
befuddled and bemused and bewildered because I didn't understand we were making a reality TV show.
I thought like, it was real.
I thought it was a documentary.
Oh, right. Bless your heart.
I know I'd been on Australian Idol, but that was in 2003 before reality TV existed. That wasn't reality TV as we know it now. And I just remember being like so confused. That frontal was real. That was my front. And so Bianca, yes, went with the Lola email, or probably wasn't an email back then. They probably hadn't been invented. The Lola letter and all of that sort of stuff was a perfect reality television moment that you could
I mean, it really just warmed hearts and really secured a win. I think it was just the cherry on top. It's one of those things that like I Jinx had several of those moments where I was like, oh fuck, I wish I would have fucking thought of that. Fuck. So
and Bianca
good.
Is such a queen. Like, she's just the most, like, I think she's such a deserving winner. And yeah. So in, I'm happy that her, that everything unfolded the way it did for her, because like she's so deserving of all of that. And I think that that weirdly, that part of the story, like the Lola part of the story, is testament to who she is, that she does have this like little girl who she's friends with and who loves her and looks up to her. That's my Miss World bit, trying to be relatable and, you know.
Mr. Tiny Top Tip Spot, 1997 yeah. through 2021.
1987.
Let's talk
what
about...
What did I say?
97.
Let's talk about the Sorry. C word. And that word is Courtney Act.
Ooh, the C word.
Wearing an August Getty Mylar gown.
The dress?
Oh, was it a pole? Was it a pole?
The dress.
She was a gay girl?
Dress that August made. Oh, there's a story. He either made it for Katy Perry or Katy Perry asked if she could wear it and he said no because I had already worn it. I think that's what happened.
Wow.
It was a beautiful get. It fit like a cardboard pizza box, or it had the give of a cardboard pizza box because it was like this technology that August had pioneered of bonding mylar to like a thick, clear PVC. But it was such a beautiful gown.
Really stunning. And the way it caught the light. And they also sometimes put this like sparkle filter on this episode.
Milk
and
has
you,
it.
You were like blinding. Like it was like you couldn't even see your fucking face because you were just fucking starbursts.
Shooting star. And you also, what was I going to say?
Chaz Bono and you are having an affair, confirmed and proven.
According to Drag Race. That was the fascinating part because like Chaz and I did become friends after Drag Race and as you can read in my upcoming memoir, Caught in the Act, he played a very important part in my understanding of my own identity. And then it was that weird thing that like everybody had like a family member or something personal, even on Untucked, right? Everybody got family messages or everybody's family got reached out to, but they were like, oh, they're in Australia. That's too far away. I don't know. But I never had any like humanizing moments that were produced for me. There was no here's your mum and dad, and as you know, my mum and dad are the most adorable parents ever, and they've you know done a bunch of different things on like TV shows that I've done over the years, and people love them way more than they love me because
they're really
the
great. And your dad
people.
Always tips after, even if I don't swallow. He's the nicest guy.
My God. Pause the pod.
I love you. Sorry if I offended you, but also I don't.
That's
care.
That's okay. It walked the line. No, it didn't walk the line. Anyway.
It danced
well,
upon
you smoked it.
In designer shoes.
Well, this and more in the AAA Girls documentary coming soon.
We get a moment from the last, from the former reigning, who's about to give up her crown, Jinx Monsoon, who looked so lovely. Green,
I heard it was
emerald,
a juice cleanse. Gorgeous.
Crystal Queen. Just Crystal Queen. Green sort of Statue of Liberty, Emerald City.
Crystal
kind
Queen,
of.
We're talking to you.
Oh, sorry. I said
okay, I'm kidding.
Looking the most beautiful and radiant, I think, that possibly she's ever looked. Definitely up there.
Stunning.
And Jinx Monsoon looks.
When were the girls in Vegas for the live reveal? What season was that?
That was ours.
Oh, so where were you when you saw that Bianca had indeed won?
We had a hotel suite. Can't remember the hotel. Was it the Flamingo? No. We had a hotel suite and we were all up there and we watched the episode together and they filmed us. There's footage of us watching Bianca find out for reals that she won. And then we all went downstairs to like some outdoor drag-a-palooza moment that was happening. And that was the last time that Bianca Del Rio ever lip-synced in public. She won. She was wearing a gown, a giant Ava Perón style outfit, and she lip sank Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, the remix. And she's a smart woman because she was like, you know what? I shouldn't undignify myself ever again by lip syncing. And she never lip synced again. She just did what she does so well and slayed the audience with her comedy.
Yeah, do your strengths. Mm-hmm. And she is a very unique character in the world of Drag Race. For many ways.
You just called her ugly.
Pretty in her own unique way.
She is so now.
Face down from behind. Honey. She called her ugly.
She has positioned herself as this is what she does. She does hosting and she does comedy. Do not, you know, she's not there for doing music or singing or dancing or like doing any of that stuff. Mm. And I think that's, you know, I mean, she's a fabulous winner, it was clearly her moment this season.
And we also have to give it to her that most of the stuff that she made, this is one of the times that a winner made most of their stuff too. Like
right.
a Jada Essence Hall win, like mm-hmm. Gigi right. Good, like Clean Sweep. These girls made their shit.
Raja right. O'Hara.
Raja O'Hara right. spent $600 on All Stars season, you know? And she right. made that shit. It's talent. Yeah. You can see her in deathdropplay.com.2.2.
Hallelujah.
Raja.
I would like to get into some scalding, deep, traumatic tea here. And I think the best way to do it, because we all know that Bianca Del Rio was crowned, but there was a lot going on behind the scenes if you were in the audience of the live taping. I think this is where we should have Courtney, if you'd be so kind, if you would read two pages from your upcoming book, Caught in the Act, which tells, I mean, I was kind of like teary from reading this. And it's a fabulous excerpt. So if you would you mind?
It would be my honor to read Great. An excerpt from my upcoming memoir, Caught in the Act, chapter 17. And the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, America's Next Drag Superstar, is Courtney Act. How humiliating. Who would have thought that 12 weeks ago that hearing my name called as the winner of season 6 could feel this horrible? I wanted to vomit. I didn't want to pretend in front of a room full of thousands of fans that I was a worthy winner. I mean, we didn't know who the winner would be, but we all knew it wasn't me. Even though I knew this would never go to air, I had to fake it. I took a deep breath and forced a smile, just one lap of the runway, and then we could all go home. Because the finale of Drag Race is filmed in front of a live audience 2 weeks before it airs, they shoot alternative endings, with each of the top three contestants winning to keep the real winner a secret. The rest of season 6 had been shot about 10 months earlier. When the finale aired, the producers would show one of the pre-taped endings and the winner would be revealed to the world. And yet, in what was supposed to be a triumphant moment, all I could think of was, oh, I made it. It's over. Now I just have to get to my hotel room so I can go to sleep and this day can be over forever. The floor manager interrupted my thoughts. Okay, reset. Thank you, ladies. We've got one more ending to shoot. Everybody, back to one. Adore, Bianca, and I all looked at each other confused. What now? We'd already filmed each of the three of us winning.
Girl, what kind of stunt are they trying to pull? Bianca said.
I'm scared. And a quintessential Adore response to anything. I couldn't even talk because I was so close to breaking as it was. I was just trying to remember to breathe.
Quiet, please. Camera's rolling. And action. The winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, America's Next Drag Superstar, is... It's a tie! Adore Delano and... Bianca Del Rio, Del Rio, Del Rio.
RuPaul's voice echoed out across the auditorium and the crowd jumped to their feet screaming. Adore and Bianca both looked at me as if to say, sorry. And then they joined hands and took their winner's walk down the runway. I stood there by myself, looking at the backs of their gowns and the faces of thousands of fans filling the theater at the Ace Hotel. I continued trying to take deep breaths to stop my body from shaking. It's okay, I thought, trying to delude myself in order to maintain some face. They're probably going to film a fifth ending with you in the tie. Just breathe, Shane. I waited for the applause to die down and the floor manager called reset.
That's a wrap. Thank you, everybody.
The house lights of the theater turned on. It was all over. I stood there frozen until my body involuntarily gasped for air. I had literally been holding my breath. I was wounded and felt like I'd just been intentionally, publicly humiliated.
She did that, bitch. Pretty people have problems too. She intentionally chose not to have you tie. She did not see it necessary for your feelings. And that's shitty as a queen to do to another queen, I think. She could have very easily had one more ending just to be nice and to like make it look like it was a possibility. But she wanted to get in through to you so hardcore that she didn't see you as humanity. When you just saw her as a peer and you were kind to her and you were honest, like the whole season you were honest, and they made you into this frigid bitch, and you're not that girl.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because listening to your podcast has actually been really weirdly healing for me because, well, writing the book was really healing because I went back to all of those feelings and really deep dove, and I watched the season again, and I felt like I resolved with my, you know, with a bit of distance and time, I was able to look back and see it for what it actually was. But at the time, it was really traumatic. Like, this was the culmination of watching the episodes on TV each week, and it was such a horrible feeling. And I think it, you know, being on reality television can be a real struggle for the people who just aren't equipped and aren't supported to be there. And after this, like, I just remember having a fucking breakdown and like being, it was very whatever happened to Baby Jane. I was in the car driving home. It was like bucketing down rain in Los Angeles and the windscreen wipers are swishing back and forth. And
Not drag weather.
And I just remember calling Vanity and like just
there's a man in the house
sobbing. And driving the car home. And it was just, it was a really challenging time. But when writing it all down in the book was so healing. And then just over the last few weeks, listening to Race Chaser's recap of season six and hearing you two point out all of my Courtney traits and Courtney-isms makes me chuckle so much and makes me feel, I can't quite describe it. Maybe because I'm like safe from like the trauma now, I'm able to actually look back and really laugh at it and be like, oh my God. Like when Alaska's like, oh, here's Courtney being relatable again. It's just, it's funny to observe it that way. Even though at the time it was like my life and I was traumatized by it. I really like appreciated listening to your pod over the last few weeks to sort of be able to look back and laugh at it all.
You're welcome. Just, write that on the iTunes review, bitch, please. That, and give us 5 stars and then go to BetterHelp, honey.
I will.
/drag. Thank you for listening. And we'd like to encourage everybody to pre-order our friend's book because it's what we do now. We're authoresses. The three authoresses.
It is. It's really, we got to read one of the chapters and I was wrapped.
I've never found such fine, erotic, written word.
An erotic.
Oh, did I send you the chapter
novel.
About? Oh, wait, what did I change his name to in the book?
Oh, your his name Ohio is Jerry. Man?
No, Jerry.
Oh, Jerry. Oh, yeah, girl. Okay.
Where can people get the book or?
They can order it. They can pre-order it in Australia and New Zealand right now, and the release dates for the rest of the world will be announced very soon. So people will be able to pre-order it around the world in a few weeks, I do believe.
I can't wait to hear it. And thank you so much for joining us here at the theater at the Ace Hotel. Can you believe we checked everyone's vaccination cards?
Mm-hmm. Please remember everyone to get the front desk masked. To stamp your parking before you leave.
Yes, free parking for everyone. I can't believe we got all these thousands of people and they all kept their masks on the whole time. Thank you so much for being here. And our very special, oh my goodness, our very special guest. The one and only, the amazing, the divine, Miss Courtney Act.
Thank you for having me. And thank you everybody out there who loves and continues to love season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race. It was one of the most wonderful times of my life filming that show. It was such a joy. And I'm so glad it's brought so much joy to so many people out there.
Now, as is tradition with us, I'm going to put something in the chat. Do you want to read the outro with us? Because you have such a pleasing voice.
Oh my God, I love this. You.
Thanks so much for joining us for this Race Chaser Classic this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
Say your name, bitch.
And I am Courtney Ack, your AAA girl sister. And I have given you some insight into my experience on season 6. And we would love for you to write a review of our podcast, of their podcast, on your podcast app. And don't forget, oh, when you said read this, you didn't mean read it all, did you?
Well, we could alternate lines, but you know what? You're doing great.
Courtney knows chatty.
You're doing great. You're on a roll.
She knows sexy and she knows chat.
Courtney knows
TS TED Talks in Tampa.
Tampa, honey, yeah. Ooh, I just went back and got a new one, too. I need to tell you about him. Southern Nights, honey. The Nights were south.
Oh, wow. I started reading it all, and I was like, I don't think that's what she meant.
No,
she
you're doing great, though. We love your accent. Accents are great. We'd love for you to write a review on our podcast. Whose podcast? I'm still high. Alaska, you take it.
We write would love.
Call me Brenda. Call
we
me
would
Brenda.
Love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app, and don't forget to subscribe. Take a moment to leave us a rating too.
And you can follow the dolls at Willem, at The Only Alaska 5000, at Courtney Act. And our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod. And our Mom Podcast account is only like 7,500 people. Are you guys not following that one? There's great pictures of the Very That Girls, the Shumada Girls. Go follow some Mom Podcasts for sure.
Shumada Girls.
Plus, Shumada you can girls. Get, I'll just step in. Plus, you can get bonus content right now on Willem's Patreon, patreon.com/Willem. And you can search for the Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag Race Chaser. Or as I've heard Willem say before, you can just scroll down because it's always right there near the top. Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. Don't come the raw prawn with us.
You'll end up looking like the dog's dinner.
Happy Mardi Gras, happy like Pride.
Whatever.
Whatever. Now go out. Go out there and do drag. Get out of here. Woo!
Take that down the 101. Something.
Disgusted. Disgusted I couldn't nail by my way to the front to see you come the raw prawn, sis.
Oh my God.
How you going, sis?
Read about that drunk tweet that I sent to RuPaul. Moments after his 2014 Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras performance and more in my upcoming memoir,
Oh My God. You've spilled so much dish, Pink News is going to do an article, girl.
Sizzling.
You're probably right.
Oh my God. Ooh. Y'all hear that, Jake Gonsay? Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.